Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
In this episode, we'll be discussing Manny, also known as the Widow's Son. Whilst listening to a podcast this week, I heard some interesting information which got me thinking about the possible millennia-long transmission of spiritual knowledge from East to West. In keeping with an often-reached conclusion in our podcast that the third degree of Freemasonry has a Chinese Taoist origin. This was that Manny, the prophet of what would become known to modern-day scholars as Manichaeism, had the epithet of the widow's son, as he was the favoured adopted child of a famous and rather wealthy widow. Now, this mirroring of phrase is more than likely coincidental, but it did get me thinking about how Western cultures had been influenced by Eastern spirituality in a somewhat invisible manner. My line of inquiry in this direction was first stimulated by the date and place of the Mongol invasions into Europe, and roughly in the 1220s to 1240s, with the Mongols taking Troyes in France, the city that gave us the Knights Templar, Chrétien de Troyes, who was the writer of the most famous Grail romances, and the great commentator of the Torah, Rashi. What I found interesting is the Mongols under the Khans carried certain religious texts with them, such as the Kala Chakra, the Tantra of Initiation, which is currently practiced by the Dalai Lama, and the Hieva Tantra. And that, to me, has various obvious parallels to Zoharic Theosophy in a time frame and area that's close to a possible origin point for the Book of Radiance. The Book of Eros and Kabbalah by Moshe Edel, the successor to the great Gershom Scholem, will give you an idea of my thinking on this topic. But let's not also forget St. Augustine, the great molder of early Christianity, as he was a Manichaean. In fact, his mother's name was Monica, and it's of uncertain etymology. It's thought to be a Berber word, but it seems to be derived from son or follower of Mani, Monica, and to modern scholars. He refuted his old beliefs and vehemently approved and wrote about what he considered to be the superior spiritual path of Christianity. But was he fully able to shed from his consciousness the Manichaean worldview? Did it linger? Did it have a lingering specter in his subconscious? And did it affect Augustine's views on Christianity? To sum up Manichaeism in 7 minutes is almost impossible, but its universality, its dualism, its Gnostic hints, does make me think about how it has informed Western esotericism. Manichaeism travelled far west and far east, finding somewhat safe refuge with the Uyghurs in the east, and made its way to the west to the Rome, where it was pretty much disseminated to every corner of the empire, even Britain. Scholars have thought that Manichaean theology had been the foundation for the dualist Christian heresies, such as the Cathars and Bogomils. So could we speculate that Manichaeism is a hidden spiritual undercurrent in the West? Well, there have been some rather spuriously connected dots in this scattered information without any real answers, but this is to stimulate you listeners into doing further research. With a precursory look into some themes of the Renaissance, we can find that there are some rather interesting dualistic themes in the works of some of the Renaissance masters. Zoroastrian themes are rather easy to spot, but there are some undercurrents of Manichaeism as well. And the Leonardo da Vinci's Adoration of the Magi is one of these paintings that under recent scholarship has thrown up some rather surprising gems. So, Brother Onshaw, do you think there has been a spiritual exchange between East and West throughout antiquity? I know your focus is more to do with Freemasonry, but do you see something that stretches far back in history, perhaps millennia old? And not just with the Jesuits, but before. And talking of the Jesuits, Manny's idea of the Holy Spirit may parallel that of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I'm convinced there was a parent culture in the Black Sea region in remote antiquity that filtered out and somewhat gave birth to the modern Abrahamic faiths. Is there anything you see? Is there anything that pops out of you as being distinctly Eastern?
Off the top of my head, not really, but I know that the Silk Road, not as we know it now, but the original Silk Road was not only bringing goods to and from China, but was also bringing ideas. And it's quite possible that religious people traveled on the Silk Road to China, and they would have passed through Persia and other countries on the way. So I have seen it something about this somewhere. I'll have to look into it and get back to you on that. Sorry.
No problem. Not a problem at all. Just whenever I hear about Manichaeism and the dualism, it just makes me think of the early Christian heresies, the ones that got persecuted, most famously the Cathars. I mean, has that had a lingering effect? What was Marco Polo doing in Asia in the 13th century? What did he bring back? Well, that's going to be a topic for another podcast. On that note, I think we'll call it time. We now part on the square, and we'll meet soon. Thank you, and goodbye.